As we tiptoe our way into 2025, we take a small pause to look back at the wonderful voices and resources that shared space in this small corner of the world. I know I say this every year, but it is such a privilege to witness the bravery of client stories, the expertise of our community leaders, and the collaborative sharing of tools and resources for our listening audience. Welcome to WonderCast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness. WonderCast is brought to you by the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. Such a great year of sharing all the things. Here's a recap of our 2024.
Hello, my name is Ashley Tubman. I'm a passionate advocate, speaker, author, and a thought leader committed to making a difference in the fields of cancer and public health.
My name is Becky Morales. I am a social worker by training, and I have the great honor of serving as Chief Mission Officer for Flatwater.
My name is Esther Pipoli, and I'm the owner and founder of Loss of Life Advocates, also known as LOLA.
Hi, my name is Wanda Montemayor. I worked in public schools for 23 years. I'm a licensed art therapist and play therapist, and I practice here in Austin, Texas. My company is called Community Arts, and we provide art therapy services for all ages, 4 to adults, children, and families.
I'm Megan Butler, a licensed professional counselor, and also I work as an adjunct professor at the UT Austin School of Social Work. And I'm the chief care model officer for Lucero. It is a mental health support app for youth and families.
My full name is Christopher Othello Brown. My mother was a English professor at a college, so she kind of liked Shakespeare, I would assume, and she named me Othello.
Hi, I'm so happy to be with you today. I am the Reverend Kristen Braun. I work at St. David's Episcopal Church in downtown Austin.
Hi, everybody. I'm really glad to be here. This is very exciting. I was diagnosed with cancer when she was 6, so I've really been through the trenches of this whole thing, and I know where you are, so I'm really excited to be here and chat with you guys today.
I'm so glad to be here as well, and I'm so glad to partner with not only Sarah, but Wonders and Worries. I have had the privilege of being a child life specialist for a little over 30 years and come alongside families. I am no expert, but I can share what has worked for some families and what's not worked for some families and be able to make the next person's journey lighter. So.
My name is Inocente Lopez. I go by Gina too. I'm originally from Mexico. Had pancreatic stage 4 with metastasis, which means already spread all over, other areas.
My name is Ernie. I'm a parent educator / fatherhood specialist with the Pelchin.
My name is Joshua Williams. I've been working with the Pelchin. That's our fatherhood lead. I'm program coordinators here. I've been pushing our fatherhood program since 2019, so it's been doing it for 5+ years.
My name is Vicki Parsons, and I'm the director of Ballet Austin's Butler Center for Dance and Fitness and Community and Wellness Programming at Ballet Austin.
Hi, Julie. This is Taryn Schulke. I work from home, actually, which is really, really nice. I used to work in the medical field. I used to be a child life specialist. And then this year, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in March.
Thank you very much for having me on the pod today.
Okay, I am a mom. I have a lovely husband, and we all live in London, UK. I run a charity in the UK called Fruitfly Collective, but it's an organization where we support and empower parents to support their own children when the parent has cancer.
Hi, I'm Adriana Ortega. I am a child life specialist at Wonders and Worries, and I have been there for 17 years.
Hi, my name is Francine Gomez. I am a Hispanic child life specialist. I've been a child life specialist going on 13 years, 5 years at Wonders and Worries, and I'm also working on my LPC license, and I'm working as a trauma therapist also.
My name is Jordan Newman. My late husband, who passed away in 2021, is who we're here to talk about.
My name is Will Newman. I am the 11-year-old son from my mom. Yeah, my dad is who we're here to talk about.
I'm Yolanda Kaye. I work as a nutritional health coach at Natural Grocers.
So I've been a therapist in the Houston area for about 10 years now, and I'm a mom of four. Through the years, have grown into me helping families reset boundaries when it comes to screens, helping teenagers completely revamp their mental health so that they can feel stronger without the screen as much and without social media affecting them as much.
I know that as a child life specialist, I provide support for families. It is important work, but I would be lying if I didn't share how much my own heart comes away forever changed by the bravery, resilience, authenticity, and hope that these clients share in our recording sessions. They are doing the hard work of living with chronic illnesses, and we are all coming away stronger just for having met them.
I was first diagnosed in September of 2019. They diagnosed me immediately with stage four cancer. Like, they knew that this is bad. The name of my cancer is called pseudomyelinoma of the peritonitis. My appendix ruptured some time back, and I didn't know it. So when they diagnosed me, I was like, I can't understand how my appendix ruptured. What did I do? All I do is go to work and drink a little beer. So the doctor said, that doesn't have anything to do with it, I don't think. He said, cancer is something that just develops, and everybody's anatomy and what the foods they eat and things like that makes a difference.
The surgeon also decided to do a laparoscopy. It's like they drained me the fluid that I had. Start talking about chemotherapy. I've been on chemo. I'm on my ninth treatment now. And I had to say that I've been responding well.
Bill was a very, very special guy. He was a friend to everyone. You were only a stranger once until you met him. And he was a very, very true friend. Initially, the onset of his anoxic injury was from a heart attack that started from an aneurysm that he didn't know about. So he had the heart attack at the age of 38, which is pretty young. Definitely get your health checkups and see what's going on early in life, and don't wait, don't hesitate to know what's going on. But so initially that was the cause of the injuries. He ultimately passed from a heart attack.
So I used to work at the corner. My daughters love when we go there because that street, 32nd and 34th Avenue, it has so many memories of us. You know, that's the place where I work. That's the place where my husband lived. And right across from the convenience store, that's where I used to live. That's where I have my apartment.
After I got scans and more, you know, physical assessments and MRIs and so many things, it's just a lot at the beginning. And I didn't realize how much it would be. And now anytime I talk to someone else getting diagnosed with breast cancer, I just try to mentally prepare them for that, you know, it's going to be a lot of scans. You're going to be so sick of it by the time you've got your full diagnosis, and things can change. Even your treatment plan can change.
I told my children when I went in the hospital that if I survive, I'm going to do something better for other people that may suffer from what I suffer from, since it's such an extremely horrible disease that I had. And I knew that it would be a challenge because it's not many being diagnosed.
I am so grateful to our community of thought leaders, compassionate clinicians, researchers, physicians, all sharing their resources to those in need. Such incredible organizations represented this year.
Healing-centered engagement through art therapy and community work for me is really looking at people who've gone through hard experiences need a different approach. And that's also what I learned with TBRI, trust-based relational intervention, is that it's bottom-up care. healing-centered engagement takes that clinical term away. Like, people don't want to be like, I'm traumatized, right? So instead of saying trauma-informed, healing-centered engagement, first of all, looks at people who've gone through hard experiences and looks at their strengths. And that's what I love. It's like no longer pathologizing, like, you're traumatized. It's more like, okay, a hard thing happened, right? That doesn't define you. Now let's come together and look at the strengths that we all share. And as a clinician, like, I'm not going in telling you what you need. Yes, I have a specific tool set that I'm going to share, but you guys have a million tools too that we can come together and use. And that's what I love about it.
Building an idea of meaning making and self-perception and purpose and using our strengths to collectively come together and embrace our culture to make things better. And that's really different than the status quo. The status quo oftentimes has a expert health provider come in and try to fix the problem, right? We have a medical model set up that's very much like, here's a problem. We have an expert that fixes it. This flips it on its head where it says, actually, I'm not going to look at your trauma, your pathology. I'm going to look at your strengths and say, what do you want to create together? What do you want to dream together? What do you want to experience together to improve healing?
When kids encounter new experiences or new words, they encounter new information. It is done at a very delicate, appropriate level where they're able to take in the information and process it just as adults do. If we take information that we receive as adults and don't take the sensitivity and the fidelity to deliver it to our young learners in the way that they can, we've done them a disservice. It's inequitable. And we really set them up for having to process life-changing information in an inequitable way. And so I think it's important that we create resources where we are being able to deliver this information in a childlike way and also in a cadence in which they can actually take it in and process it.
Being on the other side of being in the hospital setting and meeting families who are just so overwhelmed with exactly what Sarah says of where do I start, and being able to have that conversation with them that meets their unique family's needs, but then for them to be able to have something tangible that they can then go home with gives them the extra encouragement that they can do this and have this hard conversation. And I think for kids, what I think helps too is having the illustration, because the first thing their eye will be drawn to is the illustration. And then the words back up what they're seeing that helps them kind of understand that hard concept in a more friendly way.
So Lola, first of all, is my mother's name. My company is named after her. She was strong. She believed that knowledge is power. I lost my husband and my father 63 days apart in 2014, both to cancer. Then I started Lola. I went to a branding company and I said, I've got this idea in my head of how do I help people before, during, and after a life transition or a loss, and take all my experiences and build them out into a business where people don't have to be alone in those moments when it's really scary and sad and it's confusing, and let them know that they're not alone.
We were founded in 2010, really because of recognizing the importance of accessing mental health support when dealing with a cancer diagnosis, recognizing that when someone hears those words, you have cancer, that there are so many ripple effects that someone experiences themselves if they've directly heard those words, but also their loved ones, right? Like anyone that is within that person's constellation, that they can absolutely be impacted by a diagnosis as well.
And also having tools allows parents to realize it's okay and it's all right to talk to about cancer to your children. So especially if their nurses give them something that's giving them permission. Yes, those conversations you can start by yourself. And this is, you know, the best way of doing it. Then it really helps them feel in control and think, oh, this is going to be all right.
And so if you're trying to reach a child and trying to, you know, have a conversation that's reflective or about healing or about strategy building, you have to go in the right order. Cannot start with talking first. You've got to be regulated. Then you relate and you feel connected and seen and heard. And then you can actually start those problem-solving learning conversations.
Teaching spirituality to children is super, super crucial. So if you're a person who has kids in your house, even if you're not a person of faith or you're not going to be a family that goes to church, it's super essential, I think, to help your children by understanding yourself, what your source is. What is the source of your energy and your love and your care? Where do you get that when you're feeling depleted? For some of us, it's church. For some of us, it's, like I said, meditation. For some of us, we just inherently know. But some people don't inherently know. And so if we don't talk to our children about it, we aren't people who go to church or temple, then our kids may grow up not knowing how to access that themselves. And that we do them a really big disservice if we don't teach them that they're part of a greater being, right? And I was a biologist first, so I will say, even if you teach them about the biological world and the cycle of water and how things are all connected, I think that's enough too. But it's really crucial that we all understand that we are all connected in some way, and that we teach our kids that they can plug into something and replenish themselves when they are struggling. And whatever that is for your family, teach them that.
It's not just the food, it's looking at your whole picture of wellness.
Because our cells, we're pretty tough. Our cells are pretty tough. They're ready to go. We were built for action. We just have to understand how to run this thing.
Okay, so I always talk about that.
We have to learn how to run this biological machine that we've been put in.
The most important thing that I want to convey always when I'm asked about it is that Ballet Austin is a professional ballet company. Professional dancers work here. In addition to that, the Butler Center for Dance and Fitness is not part of that professional track. We're not bringing in professionals to dance here and take classes. It is people, just everyday people, who are experiencing life, maybe even some bumps on the road in life, who have discovered that they would feel better if they move their body.
So I do work primarily with underserved families. And that often includes a lot of the Spanish-speaking families that come to us here in Austin. Family is huge in the Latino culture, to the extent that many of the families I work with are multi-generational families living within the same home. I find that mental health in general is a little bit more taboo in lots of cultures, right? But definitely in the Latino culture as well. And so this fear that somebody's going to come in and analyze their family and tell them that they're doing it all wrong, especially if it's by another culture's standards. And so that's why it is important that there are, you know, practitioners that have grown up like they have, because we can understand that it's a delicate topic for sure. And one of the, you know, ways that we can kind of help is by really explaining child life and explaining the purpose and the goals and how we differ from other forms of therapy. And of course, we do let them know that those other forms of therapy are important in certain circumstances as well. But I almost feel like child life is a great introduction into this broader world of mental health.
Just being able to have that growth. There's space for both, like, generational growth and space to hold on to, like, your culture and tradition. And again, that permission to say, like, this, there is room for you here and that we support you and where you're at, I think makes a huge difference.
You know, one of the messages that we always bring is come exactly how you are. Like, you're perfect the way you are right now. Our mural is going to be perfectly imperfect. We're going to have tiles of all shapes and sizes, and that's going to be okay. We'll make it work. If a tile is damaged too much, that little person or that big person may not even be able to find it. What's really going to matter is how you connect with them while they're making the art.
I tell some of my participants all the time, like, this is a great program. Like, I wish I had this, you know, years ago. Let's work this program, 12 sessions. You're going to get in what you put in. And it's just a great program and tools that you can throw into your fatherhood toolbox. Times are hard and they don't know if they can make it through. So I think the support factor is a big piece of it that I think is pretty huge in the whole thing.
Right. They love the brother. And you got fathers from all walks of life. They don't even know each other. When they can come meet these 12 sessions, with our facilitators and have these times one-on-one, it builds a bond.
The takeaways are my favorite part. Sage wisdom that you only find with life experiences. The stripped down, gritty, resilient truths that call us to this work of helping people or give us the courage to continue this fight every day for better health.
If your loved one is in a situation where things are just unknown, you've got to follow your intuition. You've got to listen to your gut. You've got to do what's best for them because they don't have a voice. Bill did not have a voice to say, I feel this way. I need this. So you have to really tune in.
If anyone is listening and feels like, God, that sounds so great and I really need that, but I can't fit one more thing into, you know, my schedule or it doesn't feel possible, I think it's important to know that that's real and valid. And I think if you know, we're thinking about parents or families like that may be working, that may be trying to run a household while also dealing, you know, with a disease of some sort, there are so many, you know, so many things that are happening. And so it's understandable if it would feel overwhelming, the idea of also kind of taking time to get support to that, you know. All right. I think at whatever point in time, someone feels like, hey, this could be a really good thing. I do want to make this a part of my schedule. I do want it to be a priority, that recognizing that there will be resources out there for them. You don't need to know how it's going to all shape out and who's going to say what and when. Just, I think the important thing is recognizing like, yeah, there's some stuff happening and it could really be helpful to be able to just kind of have someone to sit with me in the messiness of that.
Really, what I believe in is group counseling. Only 5% of counseling is done in groups, but it's just as effective as individual. My company, Community Arts, we provide art therapy, group counseling in person and virtually. And if you're feeling lonely or you're worried that your child is feeling lonely, group counseling can help them with their isolation and give them skills and give them tools and just how powerful it is. I think I want to just like really reiterate, group art therapy is a powerhouse.
I think overall, we're all dealing with our own challenges of mental health. Don't know how to express it to the next person. And I think getting into a group setting, when you're at home going through cancer, you're in a box. Get outside the box. You know, as they say, think outside the box. There's no way that you can think outside of the box if you're just going to continue to stay in the box with cancer.
This has sparked me to say, okay, now the next step is to get this information and this ability to be comfortable with having these hard conversations into the hands of healthcare professionals. Because when you go to a big children's hospital, you might have the resources of Child Life, but Child Life isn't always available everywhere. And so I feel super passionate about everybody feeling equipped to at least get a parent over that first hump. Like, here's some things, focus on these three things, so that they can get through that part and feel like they can do it. Because at the end of the day, parents can do it. They just need a little encouragement to remind them that they do know their kid and they do know how to handle this.
It doesn't have to be a one and done conversation. It should be an ongoing conversation. So to put all this pressure on yourself to do it perfectly the first time, try and let that go and remember that, you know, you can always come back later and say, oh, you know, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have said this, or do you have any questions about what we talked about the other day? You know, you don't have to feel like you can have to get it perfect the first time, so you can take some of the pressure off.
So it's really pushing them to experience boredom. Boredom is one of the first really uncomfortable experiences we have as human beings, and it is one of the most beautiful creative enhancers that we easily strip from our kids when we lean on the devices too much. So it's kind of struggling through that a little bit, talking ourselves down, because I know as parents, we can get worked up when we've got whining and tantrums and tears and shouting and yelling, but kind of processing that and say, you have your one-liners of things like, I love you too much to argue about this, or I know that you're upset, but this is the way it is today. You know, I know that you really want that, but we're going to work towards how it can change. So it's a healthy avenue for you. But right now it's not, you know, things to say that you're ready to go. You've like built up your strength and you're ready for battle with your kids in a healthy way.
We know that when we share this information and we come together to embrace that, it warms our heart, you know, it does us good. And we need those cuddles and hugs and love from our babies too, because we just want to make sure they're all right.
You know, Julie, the way I see it, you know, the way I see it now, maybe I didn't see it at the moment, I feel like I'm surrounded by angels. He's always been there. You know, God has been there. Angels been around me, because there was no way in New York by myself, almost 16 years old, with my younger sister. And we did what we could, you know, like to behave ourselves, do good, to not to fall into, you know, like drugs. Or I just feel like there are always angels. They were there beside us, you know, they were right beside me, my sister, you know, and they were taking care of us.
You know, I'm more than my cancer diagnosis. I'm still all the other things I was. That has greatly changed my perspective and given me the support I needed. You know, throughout all of the nastiness and pain of cancer and treatments, there's been a lot of beauty. People have risen to the occasion and shown me a lot of grace, supported me in ways that I never thought I needed, and it's gotten me through it. There are people that I didn't even imagine would show up for me that have, and it's an interesting spot to be put in, to be needing people so badly for your own survival. It takes humility to do that, and that's something I've had to grow in, and a lot of joy. And still a lot of silliness and me being myself as a person. And I don't feel like all of my humanity has been stripped away by cancer and treatment. Certainly, to an extent, that's true, becoming a patient. But I've been able to hold on to a lot of it. And that's what I try to cling to.
What you need to say to someone right now dealing with cancer? You know, I want to beat cancer. I want to be strong. Get creative.
You're going to have hard things happen in your life. And if I can help you navigate and teach you to look this in the eye and say it's going to be okay.
I guess everybody, whoever might be going through this, just know that there are people that care about you and that are rooting for you.
Please keep sharing your stories, your resources, your wisdom, and your gifts. Looking forward to all in store for 2025. Season 7 will officially kick off on January 15th. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.